Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I thought Tim and Savage, you know, he's supposed to be our Mondakistan bureau chief. He's out there on the Montana-North Dakota border. If anybody's going to have the North Dakota news, it would be Tim and Savage. Actually, he did send us a message on the Montana Talks app last night. So, yeah, all right, he's covered. He did his job. But I thought, you know, maybe he'd have the exclusive interview with North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. Yeah, for those of you who haven't heard, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was just nominated by President Trump to be the next Secretary of Interior. And I just saw a response here from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, who, of course, helped make America great again, especially when it comes to American energy, access, and more. Ryan Zinke, he says, congratulations to North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum on his nomination as Secretary of the Interior for President Trump. Doug is a highly capable leader, and I'm proud to say a good friend. When I was secretary, he was a trusted partner, advancing the president's priorities on energy dominance, rolling back the regulatory overreach of the Obama administration, and ensuring we strike the right balance regarding the multiple uses of our federal lands. I have no doubt Doug will continue his strong record for the American people, and I look forward to working with him. Doug Burgum nominated as Interior Secretary. And then what about the big news? RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., tapped to lead the Department of Health and Human Services again. Will he make America healthy again? When I heard that news yesterday, I thought, okay, I want to take some phone calls on Friday's show. We had such a great time taking phone calls from folks all across Montana on Thursday's show, but we got to do a Frago for Friday's show. Earlier this morning, I reached out to Brian Massard. Brian Massard, you guys know Brian Massard. He's got Reminisce Angus in Dillon, Montana. He's a past president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, but he has been working very closely with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and his former running mate, Nicole Shanahan. And he's been talking about making America healthy again and how Montana beef and American beef is a key component if you want to make America healthy again. You know, as we've heard from Brian Massard in the past, we've had a federal government that has discriminated against beef, discriminated against beef fat. When actually, that's a great way to stay healthy is by eating beef, and in even the fat in beef is healthy for you. We're going to catch up with Brian Massard. I want to hear more about his conversations with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and much more. He'll be with us here right after the break, talking about the RFK nomination. And then after that, we'll get to your phone calls and more, anything and everything you want to talk about when we kick into the Open Lines Friday portion of the show. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus right here in Montana, past president of the Montana Stock Growers, you've got to be very excited about your friend RFK Jr. being tapped to head up the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am for the beef industry, for our country. I mean, the lineup of people that are going to be making some serious changes is pretty darn exciting.
This is something you've been talking about for quite some time. We've had you on the radio before, and you've talked about how the beef industry how cattle ranchers are basically discriminated against by our own federal government. And if we really want to make America healthy again, beef's got to be a key part of that conversation.
It does, and it's even bigger than beef, just saturated fat. President Trump wants to see measurable difference in 2 years. The quickest way to do that is to replace all the seed oils in the broilers and the boilers all across the fryers, excuse me, across this country with tallow. That takes the discounts on yield grade fours and fives away. It helps the dairy industry, the hog industry, the chicken industry. It helps everybody. And that's the quickest way to make people healthy, too. The number one driver of heart disease and diabetes and obesity is seed oils. It blocks so many things. It's not good for our system. And that's been done on purpose. And RFK has been the only person that can get to a spot and help change that I've dealt with in 40 years.
Apparently, you talk with him every single day, practically. What do you guys talk about?
Well, we just go back and forth on stuff. Right now, I've been working really hard to get one specific person into the USDA or into the HHS and I cannot mention any names right now, but there's one person in our country that can change this whole, that understands the science, has more data than anybody, and he's just carried that forth. We were gathering heifers last week, and he's on the phone texting me back and forth and getting that person in that spot. So that's really exciting. Now we're moving on to trade and federal lands and what got missed last time with the Trump administration, what didn't happen with the BLM, what didn't happen with the Forest Service. And a vital thing that happens every time a Republican president gets in there, our dollar goes up, our exports feel the pressure, and we don't shut the valve down on our imports. And that is so key. We can't have Costco grow and have these record profits while we're selling call cows for $600 this go-around. And that's what happened last time Trump got in. We had the biggest market crash since 1973, and it will happen again if we don't get real-time trade parameters put in there. We don't have to stop trading. We don't have to come up with a great big tariff on there. We just have to have a valve that goes up and down on our beef trade. And he can do it, and that's what we're working on right now.
So you think a lot of these changes could be made very quickly, like when we talk about food pyramid conversations, things like that?
Yeah, very quickly. The food pyramid's going away. The dietary guidelines, I'm pretty sure, are going away. They're going to scrap all that because it's all corporate capture. It has been for 60 years, and the right people are aware of it. RFK is aware of it. We've got the support team in there with him to help take care of that. And that can happen very quickly. Kids can get healthy again. We're going to have better food in schools, hospitals, for our military. It's going to be a win-win for everybody. And rural America is going to get revitalized because they're going to stop drying up when we can sell our products and we can make a living out here. And we don't need a single dime from the government to make all this happen. Just a few things need to change, and that's what we're working on. That's been the big challenge with me is we don't need a government program. We don't need a new study on all these things. We just need a few parameters. And we have failed as an industry on, and not 100%, but past administrations and our own industry organizations, we have missed the boat of getting some things done right. And I think we have a great opportunity right now to make some huge changes that'll benefit everybody.
Oh, there's going to be some great changes. Like, you know, you mentioned the BLM, getting eco-terrorist Tracy Stone Manning out of the Bureau of Land Management, where she's been, you know, discriminating against ranchers and giving perks and favors to the APR. So many things we could talk about. Joe Rogan did a podcast with Elon Musk. Elon Musk is going to be a key part of the Trump administration as well. And they both talked about this very issue. They were talking about, you know, diet and health. And Elon Musk even was like, you know, I'm eating steak and eggs for breakfast now, and I feel better. I'm doing better. It's just, I mean, it just makes sense that beef has got to be not just what's for dinner, but for breakfast too.
Yeah, and eat that. You put Reminisce bacon on the griddle in the morning. You save all that saturated fat. Cook your vegetables or your potatoes in it or whatever, and you're gonna feel a lot better. Cold weather will be a lot easier on your joints.
I've had that beef bacon and the jerky too. And yeah, no, it's good stuff. It's great stuff. Well, Brian Massard with Reminisce Angus, great catching up with you. You keep us posted as soon as you're able to share publicly, you know, the plans that are going to be rolled out, some of the key appointees that you think are going to be rolled out when it comes to land management agencies or public health, you name it, because we'd love to share that with our listeners. Great to have you on the program. And hey, maybe we'll see you soon, maybe coming up in December when the stock growers roll into town or something like that.
That'd be great. I hope to have time to be there.
All right. Sounds good. Well, great catching up with you. And, hey, let RFK Jr. know if he ever wants to join us right here on this little old show called Montana Talks. We'd be honored to have him on the program as well. All right. Quick break. Phone lines are open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. We got George in Laurel first up. And then looks like Perry the Poet is with us. Is this the first time we've heard from Perry since the election? Maybe. I can't wait to hear this poetic justice he's about to deliver here in just a couple of minutes.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I got a great message from Bob in Wolf Point. Well, it came from Bob in Wolf Point. Normally he's in Wolf Point, but he's rubbing it in this morning. He says, Aaron, your listeners are not just across the state. We are listening in Florence, Arizona. Happy Trump Day, Freedom Friday here from Bob in Arizona. Bob from Wolf Point in Arizona. Although, you know, it's been pretty nice here in Montana. So if he sent the same message about a month or two from now, we'd be like, yeah, thanks for rubbing it in, Bob. Thanks for rubbing it. Maybe we'll go do the show from Bob's house come February. Can we come do Montana Talks live from Florence, Arizona in February? Would that be okay, Bob? Let us know. 406-294-0970. George in Laurel. Next up on the phone lines. What's going on, George?
Hello. First off, I want to thank all the veterans for their service and all the voters for getting out and sacrificing to get their vote in. Hey, we hear that in 2020, the Mushhead won by 82 million votes. This year, I think it was back down to 71 million. I'm wondering where those 10 million went.
Was it 10 million or was it 20 million? I'm trying to recall the numbers. I know somebody brought that up last week. Yeah, was it 10 or 20 million votes? What happened to all those people? Like, so apparently, like, all these voters came out in 2020, but in the very exciting election year of 2024, they did not come out. There's a lot of people that are scratching their heads over that one, aren't they?
Yeah, maybe this might refire some of the voter fraud questions, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly, especially, you know, when we saw all the shenanigans that took place in 2020, no signature verification, either ignoring it or throwing that out altogether. Yeah, great question. All right, George, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, what's going on?
Hello, Aaron, Travis, John Jackson, and David Noble. It's morning in America, this Freedom Friday. And all of you, along with your great callers, are a big part of the reason Montana voters finally flushed the flip-flop flat top out of the U.S. Senate and installed solid Republicans in every statewide political office. Montana delivered for the nationwide MAGA agenda of President-elect Trump, a Republican Senate and House of Representatives. This radio show and its Aaron Flint army can't control what rhino senators and representatives in faraway states do or don't do to support Donald Trump's mandate to drain the deep state swamp. But we can and must remind our federal legislative delegation that now is not the time for baby steps or half measures. They have a constitutional republic to save and the electoral mandate to do it. Look, I know politics is the art of compromise and works a lot more like 20 shades of gray than black and white. But why would MAGA America still be the first faction of conservatism required to sacrifice elements of our agenda instead of rhinos like Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, or Adam Kitzinger? He can't even call himself a Republican. It's a disgrace. Aaron, you are the Dan Bongino of Montana. And he has a four-word statement that encapsulates the Aaron Flint Army's mission. Cutesy time is over. So let conservatives of every stripe lock arms and get it done. Don't you think?
That's great. That's great. You know, you when you say that, Dan, but first off, you're too kind. I'm nowhere near that good, but it's the callers that really make the program here, as Perry the poet just pointed out here. Perry, doesn't it seem like poetic justice? I mean, people are scurrying. The cockroaches are just scurrying back in Washington, D.C. right now. I mean, Bruce in Butte, I got a call from Bruce in Butte, and he was just saying, can you imagine how hard those shredders are working right now? I mean, the top secret shredders, they're probably having to add more oil to them right now because they are probably shredding so many of these deep state swamp creatures are probably shredding so many documents right now. And Bruce also said, you know, they're calling Hillary Clinton, asking her for extra bleach bit. I mean, they are just absolutely freaking out right now.
Bleach bit and the hammer, but you know, Donald Trump's transition team is doing a wonderful job, masterful, of keeping them scurrying around like cockroaches when you turn on the kitchen light by all of these cabinet announcements timed perfectly to keep them on their heels. It's a masterclass. I love it.
It's great. All right. Well, Perry, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number. Earlier, before we had Brian Massard on the show, I was walking past our producer Travis's studio, and I was going to refill my cup of coffee before we kicked off the statewide show here. And I could have sworn that I overheard a phone call from Dwight Smith and Norma Ashby Smith in Great Falls. So hopefully they called back into the show here, because I was like, oh man, I would love to chat with them. I would love to chat with them here on this Open Lines Friday. Then the phone lines are now open. We've got phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Let's go to Tom in Bozeman next. Tom, good to hear from you.
Hey, Aaron, you know, the group of people, political prisoners, still languishing in prison. I got a letter from the wife of one of them. I'd like to read a little bit of this. This gal's name is Sarah Maccabee. She said her husband was a sheriff's deputy in Williamson County, Tennessee, and he was charged for his actions on January 6th, which included protecting a downed officer and trying to save the life of an injured young woman. Law enforcement thanked him multiple times that day, and he never went inside the Capitol building. He was there for 7 minutes, and he never entered the Capitol building. A couple of months later, he left for work, and he never came back home. He was thrown in prison. He languished in prison for 2 years before they tried him. Of course, a jury, being leftist jury in Washington, D.C., convicted him 6 years in prison sentence for his actions. He never went inside the Capitol building, but he was a police officer, and this lady has spent, you know, all of their money trying to defend her husband against these charges and is appealing for help. There's 1,000 people in this situation that are political prisoners that Justice Department illegally is thrown into prison, just like they did with Trump. They got a liberal jury in Washington, D.C., guilty, 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 guilty. I hope the first thing Trump does is pardon all these people and let them out of prison.
Well, you know, pardon, at least, you know, pardon the people who, you know, the grandmas who were, you know, imprisoned for just simply walking through the Capitol. You know, there's video evidence of law enforcement, you know, moving the barricades, waving people in, greeting them.
Right.
If you just walked into the Capitol, I mean, or didn't even enter the Capitol and were still targeted, yeah. And then some of these people are getting harsher sentences than what, you know, criminals on the streets who are assaulting women are receiving. And so, I think justice will be delivered, especially for the people like, you know, the grandmas who were just simply walking through the Capitol. I also hope, I was thinking about this morning. Tom, thanks for the call. I was hearing on the radio about the Daniel Penny trial in New York City, you know, the young Marine Corps veteran who was a real man who stood up in defense of his fellow passengers on that subway in New York City. And they had a man who was shouting and threatening all of them. They all feared for their lives. And so he subdued that man who was a threat to everybody on the subway, these very dangerous subways in New York City. And now he is being targeted. And I truly believe he is being targeted because of the color of his skin. He is being targeted because he is a white male. This is like To Kill a Mockingbird in reverse, what has happened in New York City. Not only should he be completely cleared of those charges, but if for whatever reason another kangaroo court declares him guilty, he should be pardoned. And then I think he deserves a congressional gold medal, if you ask me, for his acts. We need real men that step up and stand up in defense of their friends and neighbors and the men and women on their left and their right. So give that man a medal, if you ask me. Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Jim in Great Falls next. Jim, what's going on?
Yeah, I heard Brian on there this morning, so I wanted to give a shout out to gorgeous Brian Segar Massard and let him know that you guys covered dinner and breakfast, but you forgot lamb for supper.
I left that out just for you.
So you got to get him to try some hair sheep again. When I say sheep, it's not the woolly kind because they're a little more lanolin and greasy. You got to get hair sheep, leaner meat. Beef is for dinner, pork is for breakfast, and sheep is for supper. And it's nice to see there are more pickup drivers in Montana than S10 pickup truck drivers because we won and got rid of Tester and his old pickup truck. Pickups and trucks. Hey, breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Have you had one of Brian Massard's Cattle Baron cigars? Those are great cigars. It sounds like you've had some of the gorgeous beverages as well.
Yeah. Many years ago, I used to haul some few cattle in and out of the feedlot there, and then I hauled him a lot of hay and straw down from Great Falls several years ago. So, yeah, I went in there to the sale barn one day, and I see these pallets, all this vodka. I didn't know he had it, and I was like, holy alcohol, what do you got going on here? I'm getting ready for the bull sale.
It's called Farm to Table. That's Farm to Table. That's what that's called right there. Yeah, I first saw it at the T-Bone Classic Golf Tournament in Big Sky. They were set up at one of the holes there on the golf course. I was like, oh, hey, I might have to come back and try for par on another round here. All right, stand by. I got to take a quick break.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The American Farm Bureau Federation has kicked the Illinois Farm Bureau out of the Federation effective December 20th over a dispute over member dues. The Illinois organization responded by challenging the move in court. A letter from American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval to State Farm Bureau President said the action comes after a failed mediation this week. The move is in retaliation for a decision by the Illinois Farm Bureau's affiliate, Country Financial Insurance, to drop a Farm Bureau membership eligibility requirement for non-farm insurance policy holders in Illinois. Illinois Farm Bureau has 400,000 members, but only 78,000 of those members are actually farm voting members. Illinois Farm Bureau will discuss the matter during their annual convention in Chicago next month.
Hi, I'm agricultural meteorologist Brian Bledsoe with a few reminders. The December 2nd deadline for 2025 pasture, rangeland, and forage insurance is almost here. Don't miss out. Join me and Sylvius Insurance at the Montana Stock Growers Convention in Billings on December 5th, where I'll share a 2025 weather outlook during the opening general session. While you're there, visit the Sylvius booth to explore risk management tools for your operation. Connect with the Sylvia's team and enroll in PRF by December 2nd at raininst.com.
Over 3,000 head, mostly slaughter cattle, sold at the public auction yards in Billings this week, priced anywhere from $84 to $131 a hundredweight. I'm Wayne North.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Bob from Wolf Point says we can do it. We are more than welcome. We might have to do a show from Arizona this February. All right, the good news is, though, is with a President Donald J. Trump and a Lee Zeldin EPA administrator and a Doug Burgum Interior Secretary and more, I think we can be a little bit more thankful that coal will help keep the lights on and keep the heat on this February. So for those of us that can't escape to Arizona this February, we've got a much more pro-coal administration coming back into power in Washington, D.C. By the way, speaking of coal, how many of you want to hear some good news on a Friday? Okay, I see your hands being raised all across the state. This is huge. This is huge news, not just for Billings, Montana, but for hockey fans all across the state. They're building a new hockey rink in Billings, and better yet, they're doing it with money thanks to the coal mine south of Roundup. That's right, coal dollars is going to fund the building of a new hockey rink and multi-use sports facility in Billings, Montana. Signal Peak Energy, which has the Bull Mountain coal mine south of Roundup, donating $6 million to make this a reality. Huge news. I got a chance to catch up with Parker Phipps, the CEO of Signal Peak Energy, while he was on his way to work the mine this morning. I'll play a portion of that for you here in just a second. I'll play a portion of that for you. Let's see. Into the phone lines we go. Ah, this is great. Dwight Smith and Norma Ashby Smith, they called back in. They're now with us. Great to hear from both of you. What's going on this Freedom Friday?
Wow. Aaron, listen, we're just rejoicing. We're pinching ourselves, giving praise and glory to the Lord above for saving this nation. He put it together, and he's not going to let it come apart. And so, and protecting Donald Trump from possible harm. So we pray for that every day as well. And we're looking at you. We've got a great photo, 8x10 framed, of us at the Mint Bar in Big Sandy, and we're all got smiles on our faces and living the dream.
Oh man, I got to get a copy of that. Hey, I don't know if you guys heard this phone call. So I got a phone call a few days ago from Richard and Jordan. And you know, Richard, I don't know if you remember meeting Richard, but he and his family.
Hey, Richard's in the background of this photo.
Oh, great. They drove over to the Mint in Big Sandy. We did our Americans for Prosperity event from there. They drove over from Big Sandy. But I asked Richard, I said, hey, Richard, I thought about this the day after the election. It was a beautiful sunny day. The sun was shining on Main Street, Bozeman, and it was just a beautiful drive, you know, through Springdale and Big Timber as I was driving back towards Billings. And I remembered back, I was thinking that morning of when you guys and your friends from Big Sandy, we all got together at the Mint in Big Sandy. And I asked Richard, I said, Richard, do you remember when Dwight and Norma asked me to come over to their table and asked me if I would pray with them? And he said he remembers it. His wife remembered it. She talked about how powerful that moment was. But you guys, I don't know if you remember the prayer, but you prayed for our state. You prayed for the elections. You prayed for basically what happened a week ago Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Prayer is powerful, and the Lord loves to hear from us. And so we give it all up to him. And I just can't say enough for our Heavenly Father and what he's done for this country. And President Trump being in there, a friend of Israel, is so important to be supportive of Israel, you know. And Norma loves it. And, oh, listen, Norma just was named the Montana Cowgirl Legacy Award winner for 2024. So bless her heart, she's still in the game.
That's very cool. Yeah, Norma, how are you doing? Happy Freedom Friday to you, Norma.
Oh, it's great, and you're as great as ever, too. We love listening to you every morning, and we're a couple of your most loyal fans in Great Falls, Montana.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. What's your thoughts?
We'll elevate you from Bongino to Hannity.
Well, you call me whatever you want. As long as I get to stay here in Montana and take my camper out on the weekends, I'm happy.
We're so lucky to have you in Montana, believe me, because you are the great voice of radio here in the state.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about that.
Aaron, I know you're on a fast track, but Norman, I want to know if you're going to be up here in Great Falls soon. Otherwise, we'll mail the great photograph of you to you in Billings.
You know what? If you don't mind mailing it, I'd love to get back there soon. Jim in Great Falls just asked the same question. He's like, hey, I got some burger if you want to try this out. I was like, of course I want to try some of that out. So, yeah, you never know. Maybe we can get up there for the Grain Growers Convention or something else coming up here soon. But if you don't mind mailing it, I would love to get a copy of that photo. That would be great. Great to hear from both of you. You're great Americans. And Norma, congratulations on the Legacy Award winner recipient. That is very cool news as well. All right. You guys don't have to be so nice to me, by the way. You can call in and chew me out, too. That's fun. Grandpa Lou in Billings is next up. Grandpa Lou, good to hear from you. And he's online, too. You always seems to work out that way.
Good morning, Eric, and thanks to everybody that has served and has served now. And I agree 100% with the caller a few minutes ago, Terry. Boy, he was right on with everything. And Grandpa Lou was proud to be a volunteer and stand up for God, country, and family in this 2024 election cycle. And Corporal Moffitt is proud to be a member of Aaron's Army. God bless America, President Trump, and Tim and Carmen C. Thank you, my brother.
Hey, thank you, Grandpa Lou. Happy Freedom Friday to you. You know, Grandpa Lou, he was one of those guys who you would see him in those campaign offices volunteering every single day. I had people tell me, they're like, every time I stop by there, Grandpa Lou is there working. And obviously, it's easy to be thankful when your team won. And this isn't just a sport, so it's more than just a team. It's easy to be thankful. But here's the thing. I think of, you know, when Lou talks about our veterans, I think of our post-9/11 veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and the betrayal we all felt following the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And look, here's the deal. Even if things didn't go your way, even if things don't go your way, we're all going to win. We're all going to lose at different times, right? Doesn't it feel good to know that you fought for what was right, that you fought for the men and the women on your left and your right? And that's why every single veteran holds their head high, is because they know they fought for what is right, and they fought for the men and women on their left and right. So many incredible people that they got a chance to serve with over the years. Chris in Columbia Falls next up on the phone lines. Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, talk radio has played a major role in the years. Now, I'll go back to the late 60s and the 70s that this issue came up. And it was testosterone, and that was the hormone, the female hormone, that they were treating cattle with. That was invented in the late 40s and the 50s, and they used it to fatten up cattle at the markets. If you haven't been through Bakersfield, you'll see all the cattle there, right? So they treated these cows to fatten them up before market. Well, they found out in those years through diligence. And I used to listen to Roger Fredenberg. He was out of Oregon. And they started this whole campaign and found out that the beef hormone that they were treating the cattle with was making people fat. I mean, obese. And they tracked it back down. And they finally, the good news was, in 74, they banned it. It's no longer in the cattle. Now, I don't know, maybe some other thing they're using, but
well, and now they're using. Now on the flip side, they're talking about other elements of the food industry that might be doing something similar, which is what RFK is talking about going after when he becomes head of DPHHS, right?
Ronald Reagan said it best, trust but verify, whether it's Kennedy or anybody else in charge of your country and your constitution. Get on the internet, look things up, check them out, find out that you will have that power to do these things.
Well, and that's exactly why the swamp is scared to death right now of RFK, of Matt Gaetz, of Pete Hegseth, because now there's potentially going to be a leader at the top of these agencies who's going to be going around verifying, asking tough questions, picking up the rocks to see all the bugs that are, you know, leaching underneath it, etc. And they are scared to death of that. All right, let's see. We got another caller on the phone lines. Linda in Billings coming up right after this. Plus, part of my conversation with the CEO of Signal Peak Energy and their $6 million donation to build a hockey rink in Billings.
If you... Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I've got the full story on our Montana Talks website right now. But earlier this morning, Parker Phipps, the CEO of Signal Peak Energy, dropped by our Montana Talks studios to share the big news with us.
So Signal Peak has made a $6 million donation to get a new ice rink built in Billings. It's a public-private partnership with the City of Billings, Signal Peak, and Saburo.
Yeah, this is incredible news. So when I was at that coal rally and roundup, I get to talking with Parker here, and you were kind of first telling me the news. You said, hey, we're going to have some big news to break with you here in a little bit. We want to build a hockey rink in Billings, Montana. You know, we've got hockey fans in Bozeman, hockey fans listening in Glasgow, Montana right now. And I said, you know, it's crazy. It's like you go to Glasgow, Montana, of all places, small town, northeast Montana, several hours away from here. People will travel from Bozeman to Glasgow to go play hockey. Billings really needs a brand new hockey rink, and you guys are making it happen.
Yeah, we are. When you look at towns like Bozeman and Missoula, much smaller than Billings, they offer two sheets of ice. And Billings has had Centennial Ice Arena for 40-plus years, a single sheet. And Billings is just behind, and this is our opportunity to catch up.
Well, and you were telling me at the time, too, look, hey, a huge portion of our workforce, you know, because the mine, of course, is located in Muscle Shell County, but a huge portion of your workforce lives just south of Muscle Shell County, in Yellowstone County, in the Billings area. So this is your way to give back to your workforce and to the broader community, as I understand it.
Yeah, about 70% of our workforce lives in Yellowstone County, 30% in Muscle Shell County. And the mine facilities are in Muscle Shell County, but the actual coal we mine for the last couple of years has been about a 50-50 split between Yellowstone County and Muscle Shell County.
All right. Now, the full story and full audio is or will be up on our Montana Talks website soon, if not already. But you might remember they were trying to get the taxpayers in Billings to pony up more property taxes to pay for a facility like just like that. But thanks to Montana Coal, they're going to build it with coal dollars instead of your dollars. How cool is that? He had one other big message that he wanted to get out to Montana. So I think this is such a powerful message as well, especially to those radical environmental groups who are constantly suing and protesting projects just like his.
Guys, having a coal mine in your community is a good thing. I mean, you have the jobs that come from a mine operating, all the downstream jobs from the rail to the power utilities and everything else. But what has MEIC and Northern Plains Resource Council done for your community? Do you ever see a youth soccer team or any youth activity with MEIC on the back of the jersey? These out-of-state people with money come in, pay attorneys, and try and take good-paying rural jobs out of Montana. And having a coal mine is a good thing. We want the people of Yellowstone County and Musselshell County to be proud that they have a coal mine in their community.
So well said. Again, full story, MontanaTalks.com. Let's get back into your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Linda in Billings, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Aaron, for taking my call. I'm not really feeling all that free today because I've been told that if I hand out small American flags at any of the Billings parades that I could be arrested. So I am wondering if I should just call the governor about this. I mean, I just don't understand that.
So this is So I remember when they took away candy. They took the candy from the kids in downtown Billings. No throwing out candy at parades, and they said public safety reasons. So what's their excuse for saying you can't hand out little flags?
I didn't contact them, but I've heard it several times. I don't know what to do. Any suggestions?
So I guess where did you hear about this? Have you confirmed this, or is this just what you're hearing?
I haven't confirmed it. No, this is what I'm hearing. So, in other words, I don't really want to get down there at the parade and get arrested.
I would first get a hold of Downtown Billings Association and say, hey, I'm hearing that I can't pass out little American flags at a parade. Is that true? What's the story? And yeah, because who knows? It could just be secondhand information, or sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire, and you might be onto something. So either way, thanks for putting it on our radar. Kind of on that front, and Linda, thanks for the call. On that front, I had some listeners in Kalispell reach out to me, and they said, hey, Aaron, we just got a message from Logan Health. They're forcing us to wear masks. I was like, why would they force you to wear masks again? That's absurd. They didn't work last time. Why would they work now? So I reach out to Billings Clinic, and Billings Clinic, you know, they're in partnership now with Logan Health, and they say, hey, no, that must be a fake message because the hospital is not ordering people to wear masks. So then I send that back to one of our listeners, and they said, well, maybe the whole hospital isn't, but in the department that I work in, yes, they are forcing me to do that. So I go back to Billings Clinic and I say, hey, they're saying that their department, this specific department, is being forced to wear masks. Well, our listeners were right. There was a particular department at Logan Health that's forcing people to wear masks right now. So I sent another follow-up back to Billings Clinic and said, why would even just an individual department be allowed to force these things on people when they didn't even do anything to help the last go around? Why are you forcing? So, hey, that's why I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me so we can ask the follow-up questions.